word Hosanna a lot today. I hope that's all right. Right here.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you.
Hope is stirring.
And hope is stirring. Hearts are yearning for you. We long for you.
Sweet.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our
Sunday, we welcome the Lord today as he rides on in, and we say, Hosanna, come and save us right here.
Let our praise be your welcome.
come. Let our song be a sign that we are here for you. Just tell them we are here for you and no other reason. We are here for you. I let your breath come from heaven.
Let your breath come from heaven. Let
fill our hearts with your life.
We are here for you.
Jesus, we are. All right, let's open our hearts to him now, church. Come on.
You are turned open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire.
You alone.
You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down.
Come on, let a holy roar rise up.
Let our shout.
Hey!
Your echo, you're enough
of the earth.
Fill the skies, here we are here for you.
We're telling you, God. We sing Hosanna today. We're saying, God, come on, save us. We need you. It's a desperate cry. Say, Hosanna, we need you. Come and save us, God. Come and save us from our fears. Come and save us from our oppressors. Come and save us from the chains that hold us down. We welcome you, King Jesus, to come riding in, humble King. And let our souls awake to you. Let our hearts adore you. As we welcome you in this place, church, can we lift our hands to heaven as palm branches? Right here, our hands to the Lord. We don't have palm branches, but we have hands. Come on. Yeah, we welcome you with praise. blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is Jesus, our Savior, riding in, not on some war horse, right, but on a little colt, the humble king. He's not come to take blood, he's come to give his blood. This is different. He's different. Let's sing in faith. Oh, if faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. Oh, we come with expectation. We're waiting here for you. Put your eyes on the Savior as we sing. We're waiting here for you. That's right. Our Hosanna. Save us, God. You're the Lord of all creation. And still you know my heart. The author of salvation. You love me from the start. All right, with our palm branches lifted up, waiting here for you. With our hands.
With our hands.
Come on, people of God. We do this because we adore you, God,
and it's you.
We love to sing to you.
We adore.
We love you, Jesus.
Singing
hallelujah. Come on.
Hey. Oh, we sing hallelujah with everything we've got. Oh, we sing hallelujah. Our Savior and King, our rescuer.
Come on, Donna.
You are everything you promised.
You're faithful.
Faithful.
adore, singing hallelujah. Just sing it one more time.
Waiting here for you.
Let's be a desperate people. Same as those folks who cried Hosanna. We're desperate for you to save us. And you did save us. It's you. You did it, God.
We adore, singing hallelujah.
Much, God, but I give it.
Empty-handed, but I'm alive.
Ordinary people in an extraordinary God.
Yeah.
Someone say amen.
Today's Palm Sunday. I looked into getting 2,000 palm branches to see if we could fill this place with palm branches. And I wanted it to feel like biblical times, but I realized it would just feel like Cancun. But I thought that would be good because it turned spring the other day. Can we say amen to that? Come on. Friends, it's so good to worship today. It's so good to enter into the story. This is the first, you know, this kind of begins the Easter week, doesn't it? And we're entering in. We're not acting. We know the end of the story, you know, but we're kind of just using our imaginations to enter into it. And we place ourselves with those people when Jesus came riding into town. He was just screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna. A lot of times we say, oh, Hosanna is this beautiful praise word. But really, it was desperate. Would you save us? Save us, God. And we're saying the same thing. Save us. But guess what? We know the story. He saved us. He rescued us. We are a rescued people. Praise the living God. All right, friends. We're going to open the word here with Pastor Brady Boyd opening John 10 today. Would you greet one another in the name of the Lord Jesus? And we'll move on here in a second. Grace and peace.
I'm Becky.
And I'm Nate.
And we're so glad you're joining us this morning at New Life North.
If this is your first time here, or you're looking for some more information, will you click that link below?
And if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, let us know where you're watching from so we can say hi.
At this point, we're getting ready for the service, so let's grab our Bibles, let's grab our notebooks, and let's get ready to hear such a great word today.
Good morning. How are you? Happy Palm Sunday. I love Sprinter in Colorado. We wake up this morning, you know, like yesterday, we were out in our yards with our t-shirts, you know, hanging out in the yard, getting some vitamin D. Tonight is a blizzard. So, you know, welcome to Sprinter in Colorado. So good to see all of you. Welcome. If you're new to New Life, I'm Pastor Brady. I've been around these parts for about 17 years now, and I think I'm going to stay. I think I said, you know, kind of kick the tires. I think I'm just going to hang out here, you know. Love Colorado. I want to tell you a great story that happened this week because of your generosity. There was a young mom at Mary's home, and she has just had, I don't know all of her story, but the part of our story, it's a very broken story, but she ended up at Mary's home, and she has just worked so hard for a solid year. And her life has made a remarkable, miraculous turn. And just this week, because of someone here in the church's generosity, she, for the very first time in her life, was given a car. Totally changed her life. And I can't show you a picture. I wish I could show you photos, but because a lot of these women that live at Mary's home have predatory relationships, they're being stalked and all kinds of ugliness. I can't show you a picture of her, but I saw the picture myself. I saw her photo, and she's standing next to her car, this massive smile on her face, and that car means freedom for her. That car means she can go to work and take her kids to school. So I just want to say thank you, New Life Church, for the way you are generous, the way you give, the way you serve our community. There are four ways to give. That's the way we give at New Life Church. If you want to be a part of the story that's happening here, I think some of you who've been around here a while have noticed that we've kind of changed up the format of the service. And I just felt like the Lord spoke to me about 3 weeks ago. He said, we need more worship, not less. And we need more presence of the Lord, not less. So you're going to see where we used to have someone come up and do the offering and then do another quick song. And then I come up, I thought, no, it's just worship. And I just trust you for, I don't feel like I have to talk you into giving anyway. I don't feel like I need to come up here and give some dramatic thing about giving. You give, you're givers, you are a generous church, and I trust you with that. So I think we should have 3 or 4 minutes of worship, right? Are you okay with that? I like it too. I like it. So if I like it, we're gonna do it. Hey, this week we have an amazing time coming up. I don't know how many of you have never been to a Good Friday service, but I want you to come this week. This Good Friday at 6:30, right here in this room, We'll have plenty of seats, about 4,500 seats we'll have in here. It'll be completely full, so come early. Come a few minutes early if you don't mind. Let me just tell you why you need to be at Good Friday. Easter Sunday will mean more to you if you come to the cross first. If you will embrace the ugliness, the beauty, the mystery, the miracle of the cross, then the Sunday morning empty tomb will mean more to you. So Palm Sunday leads us to the cross, a murder, a darkness, forgiveness, redemption, all that the cross means to us. We're going to celebrate that, come to the cross. And let me tell you what we do at the end of the Good Friday service, if you've never been a part of this. At the end of the Good Friday service, we're going to have candles in our hands. We're going to light a candle, hold it up, say the light of the world has come. And then we're going to blow the flame out, extinguish the light. And we all walk out of here in kind of a holy silence. It's really, really beautiful. It's kind of a somber, reflective, holy time when we just kind of walk quietly out to our cars, go home, have a really easygoing Saturday, a holy Saturday at my house. There will be basketball on, but the rest of it will be holy. And then Sunday morning at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and noon, we are going to show up and celebrate an historically accurate, proven fact that Jesus Christ went to a borrowed tomb and was raised again on the third day. And it's going to be quite a celebration, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and noon. Now, I want to say this. You will get a better house in heaven if you'll come to the noon service. I've asked the Lord, will you give these people who come to the noon service just a little, maybe I could, you'll be at the end of the cul-de-sac maybe in heaven, okay? Be something nice. Just come to the, if you can. Now, if you're bringing guests, come to whatever service your guests can come to, all right? But if you can come to the noon service, I really would appreciate it. I'm going to preach all three. And by the time I get to 12 noon next Sunday, I'm going to be hilarious, all right? I'm going to be loopy. I'm going to be off the map. It's going to be really fun for you to watch, okay? At noon, because I'll be my third time to preach that service. All right, enough of that. And then, oh, yeah, the next Sunday, Baptism Sunday. And some of you watching online, I just felt this morning I was praying for people watching online. You've been watching. Something has changed in your heart. You've accepted Christ, and it's time to go public. And I want to encourage you to sign up. We're going to have, we'll baptize well over 100 people on that Sunday. And I want you to be a part of that. It is a raucous celebration for baptism. All right, with all that said, go to John chapter 10. And I'm going to be in John chapter 16 as well. John 10, John 16. And today, you know, we know Palm Sunday is when Jesus arrived on a colt, waving palm branches. He came into Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna, please save us. He went to the temple, turned over the temple tables, entered into the holy places. He was on his way to the cross. But what was Jesus after? What was the mission of Jesus? We know he came to save us, came to redeem us. He came to give us a new identity. He came to adopt us into his family. We know all of that is true about Jesus. One of the things, though, that Jesus made sure that his disciples understood before he left was that they could hear his voice. And I'm going to talk to you today about hearing the shepherd. I love what Eugene Peterson says. He says that God speaks is one of the basic realities of biblical faith. I want to say this to you, New Life Church, and those watching online. God speaks. God is a continuously articulate God to us. God speaks to us, and he has given us the divine ability to hear his voice. One of the number one goal that Pam and I had when we were raising Abram and Callie is to teach them how to discern and to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and to listen to the promptings of God's voice in their lives. In fact, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus until you first convince yourself and believe that you can hear him and know him and be led by him. In fact, every single day, I know this is going to sound, I don't mean to sound super spiritual because I'm not a super spiritual person. I'm actually just like you. I'm growing in my faith. I know Jesus. I know the scriptures. I am trained to be a pastor, but I'm also learning at 57 years old how to follow Jesus every single day like the rest of you. But I have a conversation with the Lord every day. It's every day I'm talking to the Lord and I'm listening for his voice. It's every single day. In fact, the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, The way the Bible starts is with God creating by speaking. Let there be light, let there be earth, let there be skies and seas and animals. So we see in Genesis chapter 1, God is what? Speaking. And then in Revelation 22, the very last chapter of your Bible, Jesus is speaking to us. He's reminding us. He says, I am coming soon. So the Bible starts with a speaking God. The Bible ends with a speaking God. And everywhere in between, we see God in constant communication with people who are listening for him. All right, go to John chapter 10. We're going to read verses 3 through 5 and then verse 27. It says, the watchman, this is Jesus speaking, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. Now, can we just stop there just for a moment? Because I want you to underline that, because I'm going to come back to that at the very end of the sermon. Jesus speaks to his sheep, not in a mass herd, not as a flock, but as a person. He comes to us by name and speaks to us. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. I love the image of that, that Jesus is not behind us poking and prodding us, you know, goading us. Jesus is out in front of us saying, come on, come follow me. Let's walk today. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I'll think, okay, I could almost see like the sheep pen opening for me in the morning. And I've been tucked in at night. You know, I'm tucked into my bed at night. I'm tucked into my living room or my bedroom, dark, quiet. All of a sudden the sun appears. And I want you to get this image of your life every day that the sheep pen then opens for you. Like there is an invitation that day, tomorrow on a Monday, with a snowy, cold Monday tomorrow. The sheep pen will open and the shepherd's voice will be standing outside. Hey, let's go today. Monday is Monday. I am with you on Sunday and Monday. I speak on Sunday, I speak on Monday. Come follow me today. And at the end of the day, I can see myself being herded back in to this safe place where I lay my head down to rest. And the next morning, it all starts again where the shepherd is waiting, ready to lead me. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they have known his voice. You know what the word know there, they know his voice, means that by constant repetition, it has become familiar. That's what that word know means. It's by constant repetition, his voice has become familiar. I've told you that story that when Pam and I were dating was when they had rotary phones. You remember the story I've told you? And that there was no caller ID. So when the phone rang, it was an exciting time in the house. Someone wanted to talk to us. Now, this is a true story. My aunt and uncle across the road, we had a shared line, a party line, because we were poor. So if it rang once, it was my Uncle Red and Aunt Sybil's phone. If it rang twice, it was us. Now, we also know that you could pick up and listen to what they were saying. So we knew that they were listening to us. And we were also listening to them, of course. But when the phone rang, you didn't know who it was. But I learned why over lots of years. Now Pam can sit on the front row, and she'll be here at 11 o'clock, but she can sit on the front row now and look at me and give me paragraphs of information. That was not funny. We'll talk when you get home. You need to stop that. You're talking too fast. You're highly caffeinated. Slow down. I get all that just from a glance. Just like that. She's created a masterpiece, by the way. She has trained me well. Listen to this, verse 5. Verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. You know what my great concern as a pastor right now in 2024? I think some of you are following a stranger. I think some of the people that I love and admire are not following Jesus' voice, they're following some stranger. You can tell, but where they end up. who you're following? You know how you can tell? You can tell by where you end up. If you end up in a bad place, you followed a stranger that day. If you ended up in the middle of his will, doing his purposes, building his kingdom, I followed Jesus that day. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And then look at verse 27. It's my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Listen, one of the things about sheep that I know of, in fact, I was behind this pickup. I don't know if it was a New Life or not. And I thought, this is really bad theology. He goes, I'm not a sheep, I'm a lion. That was like his bumper sticker. I went, well, obviously he doesn't read the Bible. And I appreciate you being a lion. We might need a few lions here and there, but we're not called lions in the Bible. We're not called eagles or bears either. We're called sheep. And sheep do not instinctively follow a shepherd. In fact, sheep need constant training. I know you've seen this video, okay? It's been on the internet for a long time. But I love this video because it reminds me every day of how quickly I can get into this. Watch this video. This is who we are in reality, okay? This is who we are. I love the voices. Listen to the sounds. Watch this guy. Here he goes. Set free. And boom. I love that. That's okay, you can turn it up. That's a Tuesday for me, right there. I wake up in the ditch. Father in heaven, come Holy Spirit. I'm in the ditch again. Brady, come on, I got you. Pulls me out. I'm so happy. I take three steps. I'm back in the ditch. That's Tuesday, right? That's really who we are. All right, listen to this. Go to John 16 now. Now, because I want you to see how often Jesus tackled this topic. It wasn't like just a passing conversation with him. In fact, it was a constant conversation that Jesus had with his disciples about hearing his voice. All right, John 16. I have much more to say to you, but it's 12 noon and I know you're hungry. I have much more to say to you, more now than you can bear. Every pastor loves that joke. I have much more to say to you, but just more than you can bear. Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Do you know that you can know what the future holds, right? You know you can get an idea, a sense of where you're headed. And I don't know everything about tomorrow. I have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring to me. But I do. You know what I do know about tomorrow? He's there. He knows. He's with me. He'll be with me in the morning. No matter what happens tomorrow, I'm in the palm of his hand, right? And he'll bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Listen to this. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and, listen, make it known to you. So in the mornings, I've told you this for 7 years. I wake up. I did it this morning. I went to bed last night at 9 and woke up at 6:15 it's one of those miraculous nights last night, okay? I'm just telling you, it never happens on a Saturday night. So that's why I'm so excited this morning, all right? I've had a really good night of sleep and caffeine on top of that. But when I woke up this morning, I went, man, I didn't even get up last night. What in the world? I checked my pulse to make sure I'm okay, you know, right? I was fine. I felt good. But I said this morning, come, Holy Spirit. I said that this morning. I just put my hands like this and said, come, Holy Spirit. Now, you know what I'm asking? I'm praying John 16 back to myself. Father, today, would you make known to me what I need known? Would you speak to me today throughout the day? Just whisper to me and give me the ability, the sensitivity to listen to your whispers, to your nudges, to your hunches, to your pushings, your urgings today. Would you just give me that divine ability to listen to you? Well, how does that happen? I'm going to give you two things today about training yourself, conditioning yourself, really growing up in this ability to hear the Lord. Here's the first thing that you need to know. He speaks through the Scriptures. The Scriptures are written by the Holy Spirit, by imperfect people. We know that. Everyone who wrote the Bible were imperfect, broken people that was given divine inspiration in a moment of their life. They wrote down by the power of the Holy Spirit the Scriptures that we hold. These Scriptures are thousands of years old. That's one of the things that I love about the Bible, opening it up. It's not new. It's been tested. Every Scripture that you have in front of you has been tried and every attempt to discredit it has already been attempted. And yet these Scriptures hold life. They hold us together. They're powerful, and they're speaking to us. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Think about walking through the darkness of our world. But what concerns me right now for Christ followers is you're walking through a dark world without any light, without any lamp.
And these scriptures are lights and lamps to us. So no matter how dark the world gets, no matter what happens, and what happened in Russia this weekend was awful. The videos of that was awful. But we also see what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Nigeria, what's happening in Pakistan, and all over India right now, the violence that's happening everywhere. And yet in the middle of that darkness, we can open up these scriptures, and what happens? Light comes. Illumination, wisdom, discernment. Hebrews 4, chapter 12 says, or chapter 4, verse 12 says, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Listen, in fact, thoughts and attitudes are exactly what I want to be judged. That's what I need judging right now, my thoughts, which become my attitudes. You know what attitudes do? They become your actions. But it all started with what? A thought that become an attitude. Turns into actions. I want to tell you this story. I think I've told you this before, but I've thought of it again this morning. When we were, I guess it was 2010, we were really started talking about getting out of debt. And I think at that time we were $21 million in debt in 2010. And I started talking to you about, hey, let's pay off the debt. I had a really strong group of people. I wouldn't say it was a majority, but it was a loud minority. Of people, and they meant well, they were good people. They weren't being mean to me. They were concerned. Because what I was talking about was opening dream centers while we were $21 million in debt. And they just didn't feel like that was wise. They came to me and said, Pastor Brady, let's pay off the debt first. We can't go buy buildings. We can't be buying apartment complexes and opening medical clinics if we're $21 million in debt. And by the way, that's not unwise to say that to me. And I heard what they said, and I took it to the Lord. I do listen to, I want you to know this as your pastor, I listen to sound judgment. I listen to input. I listen to correction. I do that. I need to do that. And I took it to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know that the cries of the poor in our city are loud right now. And I had just become aware that there's probably 2,500 families in El Paso County that are experiencing some level of homelessness right now in our county. And by the way, that's the same number today. About 2,500 families. Many of them are single moms. Not all of them are single moms. Some of them are moms and dads trying to raise their children, but they're sleeping in a family's house last night. They were sleeping in their car last night. They slept at a hotel last night. About 2,500 families, we know this from the school system, in El Paso County are experiencing some level of homelessness. And I thought, I can't ignore that. I can't wait to pay off debt to get moms off the streets. And I just took it, I was grieving. I heard the wise counsel of these people. And it makes good fiduciary sense to pay off debt before you buy something else. I get that. I took it before the Lord. And the Lord took me to Proverbs 19, verse 17. And it's not gonna come on the screen, I'm just gonna quote it to you. It says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and I will repay them. That's the scripture the Lord took me to that morning. I'm praying over this decision. Should we just pay off the debt before we buy that apartment complex? So we knew of the apartment complex that we now own, it was for sale. And we were gonna have to buy it, and we were gonna have to put a couple of $1 million into it to renovate it. And the Lord just kept bringing me back to Proverbs 19, 17. Brady, listen to me. I know it's going to be a risk for you. I know when you stand before your people, you're going to get questioned. But listen to me. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and I will repay you. Buy the apartment complex. Believe me, Brady, I am going to do both at the same time. And I remember the elders meeting. I went before our elders here at the church, and they are godly people. I love them so much. And I appreciate the faith that they bring into the room with me. And they said, Brady, we think that's right. We think that's the right decision. Let's buy the apartment complex. We paid cash for it. We renovated it for cash. We had no debt on that building, and we moved 20 single moms into that house. And by the way, last December, we paid off the debt. We did both because the Lord spoke to us to do it. I'm saying that because there's going to be times in all of our lives where common sense and things that just seem obvious, the Lord's going to come to you, and he's going to direct your steps in a different way sometimes. He's going to require you to live a life of faith. You know what faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I didn't have $5 million for an apartment complex. I had $21 million in debt. I had that. And I was reminded every month that I had that. But the Lord, listen, there are times when the Lord wants you to take some holy risk. He wants you to take some holy chances. Get out of the boat sometimes and go for it. And it's the scriptures that will direct you. So he always speaks to us through his scriptures. The second thing, he speaks to us through counsel. People, listen, you're within 50 feet right now of some really good wisdom. I'm serious. I'm looking around the room right now. There's not a single section that I'm looking at right now that's not filled with holy, godly people that can help your life. They're right there in front of you. This is why we come to church. This is why we gather. I mean, I could just put this out on YouTube. We could all watch it Sunday morning in our pajamas. But you know what would happen? We would miss the connection. Being with God's people, having holy conversations, praying with one another, checking on one another, hugging one another, listen, this is why we gather. It's not content. You didn't come here for content today. You can get content anywhere you want, but you can't get family unless you gather. You can't be connected unless you gather. And this is why we're face to face, sitting next to each other for the counsel of the Lord. Proverbs, listen, Proverbs 12:15 says this, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." I'm going to stop just for a moment. I want to ask you a very personal question. I'm not trying to meddle too much, although I like meddling with you. But when was the last time you stopped, paused? I mean, you hit stop. You stopped something. And you said, "I need to ask someone else if this is a good idea." When was the last time you just sat down next to another human being and said, "Listen, I'm about to make a decision, and I need to know, am I doing the right thing? Would you pray with me right now? I want to know, am I doing the right thing right now?" I do it every single week. This past week, I had two different conversations with two men who are 15 years older than me, both of them. And in just conversations, talking, one was like a 45-minute phone call. The other one was we texted back and forth because he was in and out of meetings, and I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. Both these men I have known over 20 years. One of these men I've known over 30 years. And I needed to hear their voice. I said, "Listen, I need some," it's a kind of a joke I have with both of them. I said, "You know, us young guys, we need some old guys to talk to sometimes." And they laugh about that because I am younger than they are. But they love me. They're concerned about me, and they're honest with me. Listen, wise counselors come to us. Look at Proverbs 15:22. "Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors," "they are established." New Life Church, I want you to get into a habit of looking at someone, finding someone with expertise and wisdom. And what happens, you know, what happens a lot of times with older people that are wise and experienced, they're also very humble people. They're not, you know, they probably are thinking they're being impolite by suggesting something to you. So they'll stand there and listen to your harebrained ideas, and they won't say a word. They'll just listen to you and nod with their head, but they're saying no with their heart. But if you will stop and say, "Hey, you know, I know I'm sharing all this idea with you, but would you speak this to me? Would you show me what to do? Would you speak something into me right now?" Listen, you'll be surprised at the wisdom that'll come bursting out of them. And they're gonna be soft, it's soft. It's gonna be kind. It's not gonna be directive. It's not gonna be angry. They're gonna look you in the eye, and they're gonna tell you wisdom that they've learned over years and decades of life and experience. The Lord wants to speak to you through other people. I want to encourage you that if you're not in a small group, if you don't have a smaller group of people that you're hanging out with on a regular basis, find a smaller group of people. Find a community of people. Introduce yourself. Go to the section communities. Go online. Find a small group that's meeting in your neighborhood. Just show up. They will be glad to see you. Sit with them. Learn to sit in the council of wise and holy and godly people. Listen, you're going to need this in the next decade more than we've needed it in the past decade. New Life Church, we're going to need the wisdom of sages. For all of you that are over 60 years old, please listen to me. We need you. We need sages. We need your wisdom. And listen, I'm all the people that are under 20, we need you. You can listen, age is not a guarantee of wisdom. You can be an old fool or a young sage. Both are possible. We need young men and women who will ask for the wisdom of the Lord. If you're 18 years old, you can learn to become a sage. You can learn to use your words wisely. You can learn to influence your friends toward godliness. You can speak life and wisdom and power and holiness into people's lives. Age is not a guarantee of wisdom. But listen, for those of you that are growing older, like I am, the church needs us to step up. This is not a time to shrink back, not a time to go on more trips and ignore the church. It's actually a time when we need to engage into the life of the church more than ever. Pam and I have made up our mind that the older we get, the more closely we will walk with the church. You're gonna see more of me. You're gonna have more of me as I get older, not less of me. I want to speak into this next generation. I want to walk alongside other sages. I want to become a man of wisdom and discernment and thought, because right now the church needs us to be wise. And listen very carefully. Here's two more things I'm going to share, then I'll be done. Two things I want you to remember about this. The word of the Lord is always personal. Remember, I know you by name. So I want you to think about this. Some of you are introverts. I'm married to an introvert. Both of my kids are introverts. There are times when my house would be so quiet, I would just yell, just scream, because I just needed to hear another human voice, even if it was my own. I am the only extrovert in my family. I'd go, hey, anybody out there? Hey. And they'd rattle them. They'd come running out of their room. Dad, what's wrong? I'd say, would somebody come down and talk to me? All the extroverts in the room, you know what, we got to talk, right? That's how I feel. That's how I find energy. And all the introverts are like, man, give me a soft blanket, close the door, turn off the light, and I am energized. I'm an energized bunny at that point. I mean, I get it. All my cats are introverts. All my humans are, I have nobody in my house. Just, if you want to drop by sometimes, I'm just happy to see you, okay? Just need to talk sometimes. Listen, the reason I'm saying that is the Lord knows how to speak to you. Let me ask you a question. If he knit you together in the womb of your mother, do you think he knows how to get your attention? He knows how to talk to you. See, some of you have said, if I had a different personality, if I had a different makeup, if I were this or that, maybe God, no. Listen, God looks at you and goes, hey, I'm the one that created you. I know you. In fact, he knows you better than you know yourself. Listen, all you have to do is ask. The word of the Lord is always personal. Listen, here's the last thing. The word of the Lord is always heard, though, by listeners. Are you listening? Has the word of the Lord become exclusive to you? Are there multitude of channels that you're listening to? Are you listening for his voice? Are you able to turn your phone off? Turn off cable news. Is that still a thing? I don't even know if that's still a thing anymore, but turn that off. Quiet your soul. Do you know how to sit in silence before the Lord? And wait, we just sang this song, waiting here for you. With my hands lifted high, crying out to the Lord in silence. Waiting humbly, humbling yourself. Really, the reason most people do not hear the Lord is pride. They're trying to figure it out on their own, and they ask God at the last minute before they run into the ditch how to turn the car around. Listen, you should have asked him before you started the engine, right? Stand before the Lord. Lord, I'm about to do something. I'm about to make a critical decision. Father in heaven, I don't want to take one step unless I know your presence is here with me. And it's amazing how many times the peace of the Lord comes in those moments, directing our steps, speaking to us, giving us ears to hear, eyes to see. You've heard me pray that prayer all the time. Lord, give me ears to hear. Give me eyes to see. Give me a mind to understand and a heart to believe. What? All that you're saying, all that you're speaking to me. I told you this story before, and I know I tell the same story sometimes, but when Pam and I were a young couple, we were living in Amarillo, Texas, and we're from Louisiana. That's where we were born and raised. And I was working in television at that time, and a television station called me from my hometown and offered me the job of my dreams to move back to Louisiana. And we were so excited. It was more money than I'd ever made in my life, more responsibility. It was amazing. I mean, I was 27 years old, and it was six figures. And this was in the 1990s. I was like, this is obviously the Lord. I mean, this is God, right? And I remember telling Pam, I'm going to go for a walk. I got to clear my head. I can't wait. We're going to call our parents, right, and tell them we're moving back home. And I stepped out of the front porch of our little house in Amarillo, Texas, took about three steps, and the Lord went, no. And I remember that was an age in my life where I had wanted to hear God's voice. I'd been asking to hear the Lord's voice. Listen, the problem with hearing the Lord's voice is that he's going to tell you things that you don't agree with. It's called correcting, right? Conviction, correction. And I remember just stopping frozen in my front yard of my little house. I can still see the house. I can smell the grass. And I knew it was the Lord. And I walked back in and told Pam, I said, Pam, I'm so sorry. I don't think we're supposed to take this job. And she goes, what? I remember she yelled at me. God's yelling at me. Pam's yelling at me. And listen, their voices sound a lot, very similar, okay? But she went to bed that night, and the Lord spoke to her that night too. We woke up the next morning in complete unity that we were not supposed to take the job. Listen, 6 months later, a single mom walked up to us and said, hey, I have a little boy. Would you adopt him? 2 years later, a 19-year-old walked up to us and said, hey, I got this little girl. Would you adopt her? See, the Lord knew that if we stayed in Amarillo, Texas, two kids were coming our way. I didn't want to hear no, but I heard no. Listen, this is the life I want for you. This is the life I want for myself. I want to be listeners. I want to hear his voice. Would you stand with me this morning? Let me pray for you, pray over you. Every time I tell that story, I get emotional about it. But it's also a reminder of how much the Lord loves us. His plans for us are good. Listen, God's not trying to punish you. He's trying to lead you. He's trying to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen, Jesus, listen very carefully. Jesus wants to take you by the hand today. He's not hovering over you ready to strike. He's in front of you wanting to lead you. So this morning, would you just close your eyes just for a moment? Can I just pray over you? Some of you are in a valley of decision right now. And I felt like when I was speaking to you this morning, these are some very familiar stories. This is not a new story. It's not a new message. But it's the right now message for some of you. You need to hear this again. The Lord wants to lead you today, but you have to surrender to him first. So right where you are, would you say, whether you've been following the Lord 40 years or this is your first time ever in church, all of us have the same opportunity this morning to say, Father in heaven, I want to be led by you. I want my life to belong to you. And for some of you, it's going to be a salvation moment. Some of you right now, this is the first time you've ever said to Jesus, would you be Lord of my life? Would you lead me? I want to belong to you. That's salvation. That's when salvation happens in all of our lives, when we belong to him, when we surrender to him and give our lives to him. But right where you're standing, some of you watching online, you just need to stand up with me in your apartment, wherever you're sitting right now, and just turn your hands toward the Lord. And say to him, I belong to you. Would you say that to him? I belong to you. And I want to hear your voice. So pray this prayer with me. Give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. Give me a mind to understand. And give me a heart to believe all that you're saying and all that you're doing. And we pray this now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. On this Palm Sunday, 2024, those of you who serve at the Lord's table, would you come on down? They were yelling, Hosanna! And that when Jesus rode in on that colt, that young colt, it was fulfilling a prophecy that the Messiah would come into Jerusalem on a colt. He wasn't coming for war, he was coming for salvation. And he comes into the inn and he goes and prepares a place. In fact, the thing that he did is he went and prepared all the necessary things for a Passover meal. And in just a moment, we're going to come and take the bread and take the cup, and we're going to remember what Jesus prepared for us. You're going to get invited to the table of the Lord today. Listen, that's what an honor this is. To have an invitation from Jesus to come to him today. And that's one of the reasons we get out. I mean, we could serve it to you. We could bring it to you. But I think there's something powerful and prophetic about us getting out of our place of comfort, our seat, walking down to an unfamiliar place and taking a cup and a bread and going back to where you're seated. Hold it there, pray together, sing this song out loud. Ask the Lord to give you the ability to hear his voice. And in just a minute, Pastor Eddie's going to come and lead us to the table of the Lord. Come right now to the table of the Lord.
Humble King, you chose the road that led to suffering. Nothing was spared to prove your love for me. A mystery, your final breath became eternity. What we had lost forever, you redeemed. Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest, forever. Hosanna, Hosanna.
so now we come to the table of the Lord. And this is a holy moment. It's a moment we set apart every week to remember the body and the blood of Jesus. Because he's the one who knows us, he knows you, and he knows you by name. He speaks to you by name. I sense what God once said today is that maybe you want to remove your name and say God's speaking to many names, but God's not speaking to mine. And I think what God wants you to hear today is think of your name right now. And he's saying, I want you at my table. I want you right here. All you have to do is say, yes, Jesus, I believe. Yes, Jesus, I believe. And we remember the body and the blood that was broken and shed for us so that we could be saved. And on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Put your name right there. It's given for you. And so now we remember the body of Christ together. We eat together. After supper, he took the cup. He said, this is a cup of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And so as often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. We drink together. Amen. Amen. I can sense anticipation in the room. I sense that we know we're walking into a special week, not a week like just any other week. It's a special week. As many of you know, I grew up in Mexico, and in Mexico, there's no such thing as spring break. All there is Holy Week, and there's no school, and it's the same thing, but the idea is it's not just time off. It's time off for a reason. We don't want to just go through this week and go through the services. We want to say we want to remember and we want to encounter the presence of the living God. And so as we come to a close, prayer team, I want to invite you to go ahead and come forward. If there's anything on your heart that needs prayer, please give us the privilege of praying with you. If you're new around here, have any questions, out the middle doors to the left section called Connect Central, you can ask any of your questions there. But as we walk out, we know this week is different. This week is set apart. We're going to be back here in this room all together. It's so special that we only have one service, right? We're going to be all together here this Friday at 6:30. And then Sunday, as Pastor Brady mentioned, we got 8, 10, and noon, a great day of celebrating that because Jesus is alive, we can be made alive too. So we hope to see you back here. Before we leave, would you just open your hands? I just want to bless you as we leave. May you go knowing that Jesus is the one who saves, that he has come and he has saved. And now as you leave, I pray that you would hear the voice of the shepherd lead you to go this way or that way, that you would sense his calling, that you would sense his guiding. and hear the voice of the Spirit. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. We love you so much. We'll see you next week.